we are a very blessed church. And sometimes it's easy to take how blessed we are for granted. There are many, many churches that would love to have a worship team like ours. And we mustn't take them for granted. And so let's let them... Dear Heavenly Father, Jesus said to us, if you have faith, you will see the glory of the Lord. And I pray this morning that we could have the faith that allows us to see Jesus in a very, very different way than we normally see him. And we could see what is truly glorious about him. I pray for our brothers and sisters who are worshiping in Ukraine today. I pray especially for those who are worshiping in bombed-out churches. I pray for those moms who are clutching their children and trying to escape. And I pray for those who are just hoping to find something to eat and drink today. I pray that you would be gracious to them and show them your loving kindness. Bless us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I have a picture I want to show you. I'm sure you've seen it before, but it's very interesting. Do you recognize this picture? If you look at it one way, it's a young lady who's looking over her shoulder, and you see her chin line, and you see her ear. If you look at another way, the chin line becomes the nose of a very ugly person. And the little necklace that the girl is wearing becomes the mouth. Can you see the old woman and the young woman? All right, can you switch back and forth? All right. This is very interesting. The picture doesn't change. The way I see the picture changes, right? If I look at it one way, I see a Halloween figure. If I look at it another way, I see a gorgeous young lady gazing over her shoulder. The picture doesn't change, the way I see it changes. And this is true of a great deal in life. It's often true that it's not the picture that is the problem, it's the way I'm looking at it that is the problem. And I believe this is particularly true in the life of Jesus Christ. If I see Jesus Christ in his true glory, I see someone who is noble, beautiful, and attractive. But if I see Jesus Christ in the wrong way, and I don't see his glory, and I just see some of the obnoxious things people have said about who he is over the years, I will not see him as beautiful and attractive. Church, if you see Jesus Christ through the lens of a harsh judge who doesn't really understand you, you'll miss his glory. But if you see him in his glory, it's easy to let go of what you've been taught about him that isn't true. Jesus was in Galilee, and some friends of his who lived in a suburb of Jerusalem sent him a message. And it was a rather desperate message. The two sisters, Mary and Martha, sent Jesus a message and said, "Our brother Lazarus, your friend, he's dangerously sick. And we think if you don't come quickly, he won't make it." It took 2 days for the message to get up to Jesus Christ. And when Jesus received the message, he said to his 12 apostles, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified." Jesus said, "This is not what it looks like." But it doesn't mean that he didn't feel the same pressure you and I feel when someone announces to us that they've gotten a bad doctor's report. Have you been there when someone you love dearly comes home and says, "They said it was cancer"? Do you know what that feeling is like? Have you been there when someone you love, you get a call, there's been an accident, and they're in the hospital? You know the anxiety that creates in you. Church? Anyone? I know myself. The first thing that I've got to do something. I got to fix this. When somebody that I love is not well, and I hear it, I get anxious, and when I get anxious, I feel like I have to do something. Usually I do something stupid, but I get anxious, and on this day, Jesus did not allow anxiety to take over his heart. He said God has a bigger purpose here. And Christ said, "I'm going to be patient to let God's bigger purpose play out. There is a great glory in the patience of Jesus Christ. One of the things that make him glorious is he is patient. He does not allow the traumas of life to make him anxious and frenetic. He has a deep patience, and that deep patience permits him to be at peace and have well-being as the Father's good plan plays out in life. Some of you came to church today. I love children. Children do not interrupt our services. We interrupt their play. I'd rather have children run around in the auditorium than hating being here. Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
So give that girl a popsicle or something. I love her. Some of you came here today, and you came with some anxiety. Life has been hard on you this week. Things happened that you didn't expect. Last Sunday when Sharon and I got home from church, there was a tree laying on the roof of our house. Not what we expected. But that's life, isn't it? There are moments that create anxiety. There are moments that create tension and stress. There are moments that make us afraid. But if I can look at the thing that is causing me anxiety, and I can see it as a way that the glory of Christ might be evident in my life. Instead of seeing it as a problem that's too hard to solve, instead of seeing it as an anxiety that I don't know how I can get rid of, instead of seeing it as a tragedy, I look at the problem and I say, this is an opportunity for me to see the glory of Jesus Christ in my life. And I am going to be patient to see how God works in me and around me. Church, the glory of Christ has a way of making us more patient, because we see his greatness more clearly than we see the problem or the anxiety. I also see another opportunity. These problems, these stresses, these anxieties, they're too painful to be wasted. They're just too painful to be wasted. I wonder if you have the faith, I wonder if you have the ability to see Christ, that you could pray a prayer like this. Dear Lord, I offer this stress. I offer this anxiety. I offer this problem to you, for you to use this problem to glorify your name. I wonder if you can see Christ clearly enough and trust him to say that this issue that I'm feeling, this problem that I'm facing, this anxiety that I'm having trouble getting rid of, I trust you enough to offer this up to you and say, could you use this difficult time in my life to glorify your name? Could you help me to think in a way I wouldn't normally think? Could you help me to feel things better than I would normally feel? Could you help me to respond to people better than I would normally respond to them? And instead of this anxiety and this problem, and instead of this stress expanding into a problem for others, I offer this to you and say, in any way you can glorify your name through this problem in my life, I trust you. I offer it up to you. And then Jesus said to the disciples, let's go to Jerusalem. That instantly created another problem. Instantly, instead of it just being a everyday problem, it became a serious threat. And one of his apostles said to him, what are you thinking? Don't you remember what happened the last time we were in Jerusalem? And if you read John's gospel, the last time he was in Jerusalem, a bunch of religious leaders got mad at him and tried to stone him. And when Jesus said, we're going to go back to Jerusalem and I'm going to help my friends, they instantly said, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You're risking your life and you act like it's nothing. They felt the real threat. They felt like if we go to Jerusalem again, Jesus is going to get killed. And Jesus is saying, you need to calm down. You can't go worst first. But when I put myself in the apostles' place, I think, I'm sure you're like I am. I saw bombed out houses this week. Whole streets just bombed out. People lived there. And I thought to myself, what would my faith in Christ look like if I lived in one of those buildings? What would my faith in the goodness of God look like if I had to take my wife Sharon and put whatever we could in a suitcase and try to find somewhere else because the house we lived in was bombed to rubble? What would my faith in Christ look like if I'm living in an unheated bomb shelter? And whatever I eat is being rationed to me day by day from someone else. What would my faith in Christ look like if I felt that threat? And could I, by faith, see beyond that kind of threat and have the very same courage that Jesus Christ had? You see, one of the glories of Jesus Christ is his courage. He always had the courage to do the right thing. He's going to Jerusalem because he has the glory of the courage to do the right thing. I'm asking myself today, and I'm asking each one of you, could we do a heart check? Can I see the glory of Jesus Christ clearly enough that it gives me courage to do the right thing in my life? Because I see the courageous glory of Jesus Christ, I want to be like that. And I want to be like that enough that I find I have more courage to do the right thing even in the most challenging situations and in the most challenging moments. Church, when we see the glory of Christ, when we look beyond the problem and the threat, and we see the glory of Jesus Christ, it has the capacity to make us courageous just like He is. So Jesus said, yeah, we've got to go to Jerusalem. My friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. And his apostle said, hey, if he's sick and he's sleeping, that's a good thing. Leave him alone. You get better by resting. And then Jesus said plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let's go to him. Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, here's Mr. Cheerful, let's also go that we may die with him. This is the same doubting Thomas that you read about later who says, unless I put my finger in his hand. Here Thomas says, oh, bro, he's going to get himself killed, and we might as well just die with him. It's a hard way to get up cheerful on Monday morning with that attitude. We're all going to die. Jesus says, I want to help. He says, you guys are seeing reality in one way. You're looking at the picture and all you see is the ugly. But I want to help you look at the picture and I want to help you see the beautiful. And he makes these four statements where he's trying to redefine reality. Number one, Lazarus is dead. Jesus said, I understand. I'm not pretending like nothing's happened. I'm not ignoring the problem. I see the problem very clearly. Then he said, for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there. That strikes me as a little uncomfortable. I'm glad I wasn't there when my friend died. It's going to help you out. But you know, the truth is, sometimes we can't fix things the way other people think they should be fixed. That's reality. The reality is what everybody thought Jesus should do is not what he needed to do. And so he redefined reality and said, what you think I should have done really wouldn't have been best for you. Do you think that's true in your life sometimes? What you think Christ should do is really not what's best for you? Is it possible? Is it possible that sometimes Christ has you in the place you're in because it's the place that he can do his richest work in you? And if he answered your prayer and removed you too quickly, his perfect work would go undone. And then he said, what I'm going to do is going to affect your belief. Then he said the part I like the best, let's go. We've got work to do. Let's go. Listen. In the glory of Jesus Christ, there is a hope, there is a faith that hears let's go as a call to the adventure of faith. Church, I want to talk to some of you who got stuck. You reached a spot in your life and you got stuck and you pitched a tent there. You never intended to stay where you are for as long as you have, but there you are. You got your tent set up. You got your little campground set up. You don't have the hope. You don't have the faith to try to do the next thing you need to do, so you're camped out in life. You're stuck. I'm telling you, there is a glorious Christ. He's walking up to your campground today, and he's saying, you've been stuck here long enough. Look at my glory, and let's go. Let's go forward. Let's go forward with a new belief about life. Let's go forward with a new courage that God can do something wonderful in your life. Let's go forward and be willing to try the next hard thing and do the next right thing and give yourself in a kind of way that makes the world better around you. Jesus said, I want to redefine your reality. Stop being overwhelmed by the problem. Look at the glory of the Lord. Allow the glory of the Lord to change your perspective. And then say, let's go live a new and better life. Can you hear me, church? I see the glory of hope in Jesus Christ. He always has hope, no matter how difficult it seems. And so Jesus and his 12 apostles, they walked down that long road from Galilee on the east side of the Jordan all the way to Jericho. They passed over the Jordan River at Jericho. The road that Jesus talks about in the story of Good Samaritan, they took that road to Jerusalem, and Bethany was a little village that was a suburb of Jerusalem. And Martha and her sister Mary were in the house, and a bunch of their friends had come to comfort them. And somebody said to Martha, Jesus is just outside the city. Martha was a hyperactive person, and she instantly jumped out, and she raced out of the house. She raced down the streets to the main road, got on the main road, and went outside of the city, and sure enough, there was Jesus, and he was talking to a group of people. Martha rushed right up to him, interrupted his conversation with other people, and she said, where were you? Where were you? If you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Martha is often not considered as spiritual as Mary. But I am telling you, on this day, she shined. She shared her disappointment. If you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But then listen what she says. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, he will give it to you. And Jesus said to Martha, Martha, that's right. Your brother will rise again. You can hear that one of two ways. Your brother can rise again, and it's going to happen right now, or your brother will rise again, but it won't be till the resurrection at the end of the age. She heard it as the resurrection at the end of the age. She said, yes, Jesus, I know. In the resurrection at the end of the world, I know he'll rise again. And Jesus said to her, Martha, can you see who I am? Are you looking at the picture and seeing me as the one who is full of grace and truth and the glory of the Lord abides on me? Or are you looking at the picture and seeing the ugly? He said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He said, Martha, if there's any resurrection at all, I am the source of it. If there's any quality of life at all, I am the source of it. Can you see my glory? Do you believe? Listen to what Martha says. Ladies, we often talk about Peter's confession. Peter's confession is no better than Martha's confession, but you rarely hear it referenced. Ladies, please listen to this. It's Martha who says, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Peter never made a more clear confession than that. Listen, Martha is seeing beyond the problem, and she's beginning to sense the dynamic of the glory of the Lord in Christ, and she's beginning to feel like something special is going to happen. Jesus said to Martha, "Martha, there's something glorious about me that I don't think you understand. It is the glory of the power of life." Church, there is a power of life in Christ Jesus that makes him altogether glorious. I can illustrate this. Kind of like our picture, you can see it two ways. Do you run into people from time to time? They're living, but they're not really alive. They've given up. Somewhere along the path of life, they just really stopped living. They're surviving. They're consuming their fair share of groceries. They're entertaining themselves in different ways day by day, but they're not really living. And then from time to time, you get to run into people who are alive. You know what I'm talking about? There are people whose sparks fly from their fingertips. They're alive. They're living. They're interested about life. They're in the moment. They love. They care. They engage in life richly. There's something interesting about them. Jesus said to Martha, "What do you see? Do you have the faith to see that I am really alive and that I am the source of what it really means for everybody to be alive?" Church, I wonder today, are you standing on the fringe where Martha was? When you look at Jesus Christ, what do you see? Do you just see a storyteller who went around doing strange things? Or do you see the glory of the source of life? The glory that makes life interesting. The glory that makes life beautiful. The glory that expresses itself in true and honest love. The glory that gives itself away in encouragement and blessings and kindness. Jesus said to Martha, "Martha, can you see that there's something bigger here than just your brother died? I am the source of what it really means to live well. Can you believe that?" I want to ask you, do you believe that? When you look at life, what does it take to live well? I know you get bombarded with commercials. I know whatever the next fancy car is, if only you had that fancy car, you'd live well. You get tired of it just like every other car you got. If only you lived in this kind of house in this kind of neighborhood, it would become the normal. It would lose its shine. If only your husband was Brad Pitt, your life would be perfect. Or John Wayne, if only you married that gorgeous woman on the red carpet. Okay, church, These are the myths and the illusions. There is a richness to life, but it isn't found in these kind of things. It's found in a quality of personhood that Jesus Christ has richly and abundantly, and he's willing to share with people who draw near to his glory. Can you hear me, church? There is a strength and dignity for life that we can only get from the source of life, Jesus Christ himself. And so Martha left Jesus, and she went back home, and she went to where Mary was reclining, and she said to Mary, "The master is here, and he's calling you." And Mary got up and quickly left the house. Well, when Mary got up and left the house, a bunch of people left with her. Martha left, nobody went with her. She got ripped off a little bit. Mary leaves, everybody goes with her. And she made her way down the streets. She made her way out to where Jesus was. And then she did a stunning thing. In front of everybody, she threw her pride out the window, and she fell down and put her forehead on Jesus' foot. Who could do such a thing? Surely you would be embarrassed to go onto Main Street, kneel down, and even put your forehead on your spouse's foot. Surely that would be a little much. Mary, in front of the large crowd, forgot all about herself. And she knelt down in front of Jesus, in front of everyone, and probably put her forehead on his foot. Why would she do such a thing? Because she was aware of the glory of the Lord. Church, when you read the Bible and people sense the glory of the Lord, they commonly bow down. In heaven, the angels bow down and worship. There was something so special about Christ that it made perfect sense to Mary to kneel down and put her forehead on his foot. And she said with a choked voice, a voice choked by tears, "If only you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." And then Jesus' heart was broken. And the Bible says that he sighed a deep sigh. It was a groan from his inner personhood that could not be restrained. And he actually cried. I see in Jesus Christ the great glory of sympathy. Oh, I know that we live in a world of appearances. But please listen to this. In spite of all his glory, in spite of all his majesty, in spite of all his power, in spite of all his wisdom, part of the glory of Christ is he's able to sympathize with a broken human heart. Whatever has broken your heart, he's not insensitive to. He actually cares. Yes, it's true that Jesus liked to go to parties. Yes, he went to the wedding feast at Cana and made 150 gallons of wine. That's a little much for some of you. Yes, he went to Simon's party, and yes, he was at the party where Lazarus and Martha, yes, he went to a lot more parties than what the church tells you about. But he also went where the heart was broken and the soul was crushed, and sympathy was at a premium. He has the glory of being able to sympathize with common people like you and I. Can you hear that, church? He isn't just glorious because he's powerful and smart and radiant and beautiful. He's glorious because he has a rich soul that sympathizes with the human reality. Whatever's breaking your heart today, the glory of Christ is able to sympathize with you in ways that make all the difference in the world. There is no one who cares for your broken heart like Jesus. There's no one who looks in that deep place that we try to cover over, we try to hide, we try to ignore. He looks beyond all our facades, and in his great glory, he extends his sympathy to the human soul, and it makes him altogether beautiful to me. It makes him attractive to me. It makes me want to please him more, because in the greatness of his glory, he's rich in sympathy. And then Jesus said, "Where have you laid him?" And everybody made their way to the hillside that was stone, and there were caves there, and they had chiseled out the caves and made them into tombs. And Jesus said, "Take the stone away." Martha said, "No! Do not touch that stone. Nobody's messing with the stone. Jesus, we buried Lazarus 4 days ago. And if you roll that stone away, it's going to be a very unpleasant smell, and we don't want to do that." Jesus said, "Martha, didn't I tell you if you believed, you would see the glory of the Lord?" Do you have the faith to risk rolling the stone away? And so they rolled the stone away, and Jesus said in a loud voice, if I would have been doing this, I would have whispered just in case it didn't work. Jesus said with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Shocked the whole crowd. And then it was a bright day, and everyone squinted, and they looked into the dark cave, and they waited, and the tension was high. You could hear a pin drop. And suddenly, a man shuffled to the front of the cave, completely wrapped in linen, the way they buried people at the time. And Jesus said, "Let the dude go. Unwrap him and let him go." Church, I can see the glory of God in action. The glory of God is just not a vague idea. In these verses, we see the glory of God in action. The glorious request that only Christ would make, take the stone away. No one goes to the tomb and says, "Dig him up." It was the glory of Jesus Christ that said, "Take the stone away." It was the glorious teaching of Jesus Christ that only he could teach when he said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" It was the glorious prayer of Christ that only Christ could pray. "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me. And I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." It was the glorious command of Christ. Who other than Christ could say to Lazarus, "Come out"? And it was the glorious advice of Christ, who said he doesn't need those that grave wrapping anymore. He's going to live a long time. Let's get that off him and get some decent clothes on him. Church. We've let John Owen influence our thinking. Listen what Owen said. The knowledge we have of God as he is represented to us in Christ is far more clear, certain, steady, effectual, and operative than any we can obtain in another way. Listen what Owen was saying. When you see Jesus Christ and you see him properly, what you're seeing clearly, certainly, steadily, effectively, and operatively is the glory of God himself. Church, when I see beyond my present problems, beyond my present anxieties, and beyond my present tensions, when I see the glory of Jesus Christ, I am seeing the transcendent glory of God Almighty. And in the very same way that the glory of Jesus Christ changed the life of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, the glory of Jesus Christ will change the life of everyone who really believes in him. Our dear Heavenly Father, I find Jesus Christ so fascinating. He's infinitely interesting. I have sometimes looked at him and not seen him in his beauty and in his glory. I've misjudged him, seen him through the wrong lens, the wrong frame. But I pray for myself and everyone who's here this morning. I pray for those who are online watching. I pray that your Holy Spirit would do what only he could do and help us to see beyond all these issues we have in life and help us to see Christ in his glory so that what is glorious about who he is might have an effect on us and we might find a new life, a new strength, a new dignity in living. And I ask it in Jesus' name, amen.